Okay. What a good time in prayer tonight, huh? God's so good. Amen. Well, take your Bible tonight as we continue our study on how to have a victorious Christian life. We're going to learn God's secret weapons against our real spiritual enemies tonight. Some of God's secret weapons. And I want you to open your Bible to Daniel chapter number 9. Daniel chapter number 9. And I've got some of this on slides for you tonight on the PowerPoint presentation, so we'll look at those as well, and maybe those will help you. I noticed last week that maybe some of this could help you if we got them on slides, so you could see some of these things, you could take some notes, that'll help you, because I believe if we'll apply these things to our Christian life, this will change your life and my life. Daniel chapter 9, verses 5 and 6, and the Bible says this: "We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from the precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land." Let's pray. Father, I thank you now for this time that we could study your word. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you teach us the things that we need to know, that we could have a victorious Christian life, that we could live with for you, walk with you, and ask you to help us. Now guide us, direct us, as we can continue this study, really at its beginning steps, and help us to live by the things that we learn from your word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, basically, we learned that we have a couple enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the world, the flesh, and the devil, they don't want anything to do with us. They want us to destroy us. And so we're going to learn tonight maybe how to identify some of these enemies so that we can grab the weapons God has for us and overcome this. We found out last week we really have three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. The devil hates God. He hates everything to do with God. He wants to be God, and he doesn't like the fact that you and I receive Christ as Savior. And he knows that we can no longer be his, that we were of our father the devil, as John chapter 6 tells us, but now we are the Lord's. And because we're the Lord's, he cannot have power over you and me. So what he really wants to do then is to take us away from God. The world has always hated Christianity. We see it all the time in our day. We see it more and more now as I believe the day of the Lord approaches. And we see how this world just can't stand to have anything to do with God. And the world teaches us to go out and drink and take drugs, and that's all the answers. The world has all the answers. But the truth is, the world doesn't have any answers. The answer is in Jesus Christ and salvation by grace and faith, by walking with God and living for Him and allowing Him to rule over you and me. And then we learned that we ourselves are a problem. There's no one that can deceive you like you can deceive you. There's no one that can trick you like you can trick you. There's no one that can cut your throat, if you will, like you and I can cut our throats. And so we have three enemies. Our enemies are not other people. There's nobody in this church that's your enemy. No one. No one. No one. No one. No one. We have to realize that we as God's people are nobody's enemy. Now the world and the flesh and the devil may use people to attack you and I, but no human being is your enemy. For God so loved the world, that's everybody. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So God loves every individual. He wants every individual to go to heaven. Now the devil and the world and the flesh can use people as baseball bats to beat us with, but no human being is ever your enemy. We have enemies. Our enemies are the world, the flesh, and the devil. Last week I read a verse for you. I'll read it again for you tonight in Ephesians. In Ephesians tonight, Ah, I got my notes mixed up. Hang on just a second. Isn't that terrible that your preacher has to have notes in front of him? I just want to make sure I teach you the right thing. Amen? But in Ephesians last week, my mind's gone blank, so I got to find my notes. In Ephesians last week, we read a verse out of Ephesians chapter 6, and verse number 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12. There it is. I found my notes. Okay. It says this. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. I got this thing memorized. Well, I can't remember it. I don't know this tonight. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So notice it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So we don't wrestle against people. People are not our enemies, but the world and the flesh and the devil are. So here's Daniel. Daniel's realized some things. Even though Daniel maybe had a few good friends and he had no church home, he was a slave in a faraway country, Daniel kept his relationship with God as a priority. He was always praying when he was supposed to pray. He was studying his Old Testament Bible. He was trying to learn what the prophets were telling the people. What can we see that caused Daniel to go to God to get help? Israel had been in a great spiritual battle, and they lost because of sin. You can lose spiritual battles because of sin. Daniel had realized that the people had sinned. So Daniel went to God and he prayed and he said, verse 5 of Daniel chapter 9, "We have sinned. We have committed iniquity." Now, I'll be honest with you, Daniel probably wasn't as guilty as all this as as the whole nation was. But Daniel wasn't saying, "I am better than anybody else." He was including himself into the mess. And the truth is that if America's ever going to get right with God, we have to include ourselves in realizing that we have sin in our own personal lives that we have to get the victory over. And that we're just as guilty of all the sins that everybody else is guilty of, we're just as guilty of. Notice, we have sinned and committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, and to all the people of the land. So Daniel's associating himself with all the nation of Israel and all its history, and realizing that the nation of Israel has sinned, he being a part of the nation of Israel that sinned, have put themselves into this position. Now Daniel wanted some help. Daniel wanted to understand how the people of Israel could have the victory. So from a broken heart of sin, and he yearns to get the people back to Israel. He yearns for Israel to get back to the truth. He yearned to do that which is right. And he didn't understand some things, so he had to learn some things. So let's look at slide number 2. The weapons, our weapons are not physical. Our weapons are not physical. Our weapons are not physical. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God that are pulling down the strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So, first we need to realize that our weapons are not physical. They're spiritual weapons. They are not fists. It's not yelling. It's not screaming. It's not fingernail biting. It's not fingernail scratching. It's not silence. It's not poison. It's physical. It's a spiritual attack. They're not physical. Those are physical things I just said. The Christian's weapons are not to fight physically with fists. But our spiritual battle is spiritual weapons. Just as real as your fists are, and a gun might be, and screaming and hollering might be, those are physical things around us. Just as real are the very spiritual weapons that God has given to you and I. They're not made out of hands, they're not made out of metal, they're not made out of stone, they're not made out of wood, they're not explosive, but rather they're spiritual in construction. So our weapons must be realized that they're from heaven. Look at the next slide. What spiritual attacks do to us? What do spiritual attacks do to us and people around us? Spiritual attacks affect our attitude towards God. in our heart. It brings depression. It gets us to think about quitting. We talked about this last week. It brings up anger and bitterness about people around us. It makes us numb to the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit seeks to change us through the Word of God, not works, which is all around us. It's that still small voice. Spiritual attacks affect our ability to live. Our next slide. It affects our resolve, our ability to live. Excuse me. It affects our ability to want to do the right thing. It affects our ability to want to live. We want to die. Oh, if I could just get away from it all. We talked about that last week. Our spiritual attacks affect our ability to think. They cloud our minds. They cause our minds to get off on other things. Spiritual attacks affect others around us. We talked about those last week. So what are some of the signs that I'm in a spiritual attack? What are some of the signs that I'm in a spiritual attack? Well, take a look. God has given you and I spiritual signs that let us know that we are in a spiritual attack. He wants us to recognize that we are in a battle. And we have to move forward. So how do I discern these? How can I tell I'm experiencing a spiritual attack? Well, the answer goes back to the things we've just talked about, our minds and our heart. How can I, to the physical effects that we're having in our life and using the weapons to overcome to our attack. So, let me give you some of them. The bringing on of depression is a sign of spiritual attack. Thinking about quitting, giving up, or running away is a sign of a spiritual attack. Anger and bitterness about people in the past is a sign of a spiritual attack. We become numb to the voice of the Holy Spirit. We're under a spiritual attack. Our ability of life becomes affected. We think about dying or giving up and running away. We're under a spiritual attack. Our resolve to live for God gets affected. It tells us that we're under a spiritual attack. Our minds become confused over the right and wrong. Our mind becomes confused over what is right and what is wrong. That's a spiritual attack. And by the way, those spiritual attacks always affect other people other than ourselves. So we need to do a few things. We need to train ourselves to override our instincts and replace the normal response of doing what we think is right with God's ordained response. When we start seeing some of these things happen to us, then we need to realize we got to run to God and not run from God. We must train ourselves to run to where the warfare is taking place, the spiritual ground, not the physical ground. So that's what Daniel had learned to do. He learned to run to God. So he ran to God and he started praying. He confessed his sin and the sin of the people to God. He prayed with such conviction that he wouldn't stop praying. He wanted to seek God till God gave him the answer. And he kept going back to God and back to God. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. And we learned last week that he prayed for 3 weeks and he fasted and prayed. And then finally, after time passed, he gets an answer or a response. So what can we do? Well, we need to learn to grab the weapons that God has put in our disposal. There are a few places in the Bible that we can see our weapons that God has given to us. One of them is Ephesians chapter 6. Turn over there if you would please. Ephesians chapter 6. Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. And we'll start reading in verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparations of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helm of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So here, we see that God has given to you and I some spiritual weapons. Some of them are listed here that we're going to learn now. Your loins girt about with truth. Your life is covered with truth, like an undergarment. And we're going to learn these in detail here. Where we got the breastplate of righteousness. We learn that our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We need to go out and preach the gospel everywhere we can. We need to take a shield of faith that the Bible says able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The helmet of salvation. We need to control our mind. We need to take the spirit, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We need to pray. We're going to take a look at each one of these and the full list of our weaponry, which God has given us, which is truth. The source of confidence in winning the battles, personal righteousness, prayer, fasting, chastening, humbleness, kindness, faith, commitment, the Word of God, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the people of God, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith. There are 14 weapons that we're actually going to learn. We're going to begin learning these in detail next week. So I want to encourage you to come be a part of our services every Wednesday night. And I promise these will be a help to you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you now. I know we had an abbreviated time tonight because of our prayer time. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd guide us and help us.